Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 17. Proverbs 17. I'd like to read one verse, verse 16. Proverbs 17, 16. The Holy Spirit of God moved upon Solomon to pen this question. Wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he hath no heart to it? Here's what he asked. Why? Why is there hire or value in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, the wisdom of God's grace and mercy to all mankind, and there's not a heart for it? Why is there at every man's hand? Why? Why is there value in a fool's hand to get wisdom? Wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he hath no heart to it? Now, there's two great truths set forth here. And the first great truth is discovered in this question. Why does man have access to the means of God's grace to obtain wisdom? Now that's what he's asked. Why does man have access to the means of God's grace, the means to wisdom? Here's the answer. Because God is good. The Lord just hold your hand right there. Turn with me to Romans 1. Romans 1. The Lord has set forth His power, His wisdom, His mercy, His goodness, in the exhibition of nature. Look at Romans 1:20. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Why, Chuck, can all men, everybody, why can all men look around and see the trees and the sky and the mountains and the seasons change? And why can men look? Why is the price, is the value in the hand of a fool to get wisdom? Men can look around. That guy that just passed right there, he can see, he can look around. Why does all men see? Because God's good. God Almighty, Romans 2:14, has given every man with a rational mind, just a mind that can think rationally, He's given him a conscience. Listen to Romans 2:14. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the mean, while accusing or else excusing one another. You know what he just said? All men by nature, with a rational mind, they know what's right. They know what's right and what's wrong. Man by nature will say either, you know, you take the most backward group of people in this world. Within their conscience, right and wrong, they know what's right and what's wrong. They either accuse that of being wrong or excuse it, saying that's acceptable. God Almighty set forth in Acts 17. Turn to Acts 17. Acts 17, verse 30. The Lord has absolutely commanded all men to repent. Acts 17, 30. 31. And the times of this ignorance, that Paul was, had gone over there to Mars Hill, and there was a group of people, and they had these statues all over, monuments all over. They found that one over in verse 23 with this inscription on it, to the unknown God. Paul said, this God I'm going to tell you about. Paul said in verse 30, 31, the times of this ignorance, that is of the ignorance of the Gentiles, God winked at, but now commandeth all men, Jew and Gentile, everywhere to repent, because he's appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Why is it that men can look around, they've got a conscience, they've got God's word and commandment to repent? Why is it that there's the value, the price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom? Because God's good. Look at Mark 16, 15. Mark 16, 15. The Lord, in commissioning His apostles, He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know why God has raised up the gospel in Katy? You know why God Almighty has set a light here since the mid-50s? Because God's good. He's good. Yeah, He sent the gospel here. God is good. Look at Romans 16:25. Romans 16:25. Now to Him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel in the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Do you know why you can go anywhere and buy a Bible? At least in this country. You can go to the dollar store and buy the scriptures, Don. You can buy them. Wherefore is there value in the hand of a fool to get wisdom? He can see nature, has a conscience. God's commanded him to repent. God Almighty has sent the scriptures. Why is there the price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom? Because of the goodness of God. Back in Proverbs 17, here's the second question. Why does man not make use of these blessings of God's grace and mercy? Here's the answer. He doesn't have a heart for it. Wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he hath no heart to it? Man was ruined in the fall. And his heart and his will and his love for Almighty God died. Man has no heart for the means of God's grace because he has no heart for God. Man by nature does not care what these scriptures say. Man by nature doesn't care that the mercy and power and grace of God is declared. Man doesn't care. He has no heart for the God of all grace. He has set his wicked heart on the things of this world, and he has no concern for his eternal soul. I don't care. That's what man by nature says. Are they all like that? Is all of them like that? Well, according to Psalm 14, 1 to 3, yeah, they're all like that. Psalm 14, the fool has said in his heart, "No God." They are corrupt. They've done abominable works. There's none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Man, by nature, has no heart. And all men, God's elect included, were born just like that. And you have he quickened who were dead. Dead in trespasses and sins. But in the midst of this dark, dead world that is in total rebellion against God. Turn to Isaiah 55. In the midst of everything that's going on. In the midst of darkness and rebellion against God, here's a cry of hope. Isaiah 55:1, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." Now this message right here, and here with all the means of God's grace, Carl, with your conscience, with your ability to look around with these scriptures that all of us by nature had no interest in. Here comes a cry to a specific people. Oh, anybody out there that's thirsty. Thirsty for righteousness. Thirsty for reconciliation with God. Thirsty for peace with the Lord. If there's anybody out there that's suffering and needy and sees themselves in their own state perishing, come. Come. Where? To that Jordan you just read about, Neil. Come ye to the waters, to the water of life. Come ye, buy wine and milk. Buy the wine of cheer, by God's Spirit, the milk of nourishment, the bread of heaven himself. Come. Oh, this voice that cries, "Come ye to the waters." Anybody that's thirsty, and do what? Buy and eat. Purchase and dine. How? By faith. By faith. But what do I come with? The scripture says without money. You can't buy it with your ability. Come without money and without price. There's no price revealed. But I thought I could ABC. No, there's no price. Faith alone. That all that you had considered gain to a believer, everything that a believer trusted in before he was a believer, all of his abilities, whatever, all of that that was gain at one time now is dung. Paul says it's loss. Life eternal is free to all who have nothing in themselves. If you know yourself, I am a helpless, empty sinner. I can't think for myself. I can't do for myself. I can't speak for myself. I don't even know how to pray. I don't even know how to ask. Everyone that knows that they have no ability, I can't keep myself. I didn't establish myself. There is nothing I can do. And thanks be unto God, there was nothing that I could do to merit my salvation. And there's nothing I can do to lose it. I have no ability. I have no ability. I am a helpless sinner. Here was the price. The price was that God's law had to be satisfied. This is what's got to be done. God's law has got to be satisfied. God's justice has got to be satisfied. And the Scripture says, Romans 3:24, being justified freely. No cause in me. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Here's mercy. I can't. I must. But I can't. And He does. Isaiah 55 verse 2, wherefore do you spend money? That is, if your marginal says weigh, where do you weigh thinking that you've done enough? You know, well, it's going to take a little bit more here. Maybe I come up a little. Maybe that'll tip the balance a little bit more. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? And you labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. And that which is acceptable. You can go back and read these Old Testament sacrifices. Go through the book of Leviticus and you'll notice the fat was always for the Lord. The fat was always the Lord's. Why do you spend that which is not going to satisfy? It's not going to satisfy God. And really it won't satisfy your conscience. Because you've never done enough. Delight yourself in fatness. Why do you disregard God's goodness pursuing that which is going to perish? Why do you go after man-centered works? Why do you go after your own self-righteousness? Here's what it is. Because man doesn't have a heart for Christ. He doesn't have a heart for grace. But knowing man's total inability and God's demand for righteousness, here's the age-old question that keeps coming back, and I want to hear this answer again. Job 9:2, I know it's so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? How can a man be justified before God? Tell me one more time. Just one more time. My mind just went to our sister Mary. Let me ask you something. When she takes her last breath, just like you and I are going to too, don't you know she'd like to hear, tell me one more time. Tell me one more time how I can be just before God. Tell me one more time how the Lord has put away my guilt. Let me take my last breath hearing of grace and mercy. All of the mess of this world that we think is so important. All of these little trivial toys and foolish, silly things that we just set ahead of the glory of Almighty God. Tell me how God has shown mercy to this sinner. Here it is. He hath made him sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. According to God's everlasting covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ was made sin, was made flesh, that He might be made sin. For His people, just for the unjust, God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we were yet without strength, in due time, according to the time of God, Christ died for the ungodly. Died for His people. Laid down His life. For who? For those who had no heart for Him. Had no heart for His means of grace, His mercy, His kindness. Who were quite content, if left to themselves, to just go to hell and have no regard for their eternal soul. That's mercy. That's grace. Oh, for a sinner to have any hope. Justice is going to have to be satisfied. Law is going to have to be honored. Let me ask you something. You got that ability? Man that claims to have a free desire, free will. That's what it will. Free will. Bless the Lord according to God's everlasting covenant to show mercy, compassion to whomsoever He would. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. One of these days we will understand that. One of these days that's going to be real to us. With the debt paid, I need holiness before God. I need to be righteous before God. And I know for a fact, and you that know Him know too, you don't have any righteousness in yourself. We have no righteousness to lay claim to that will be accepted. He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I don't want to talk about myself because I don't have any. It's an embarrassment to a believer. Almighty God robes His people, calls them out of darkness, robes them in righteousness, covers them, seals them by the Spirit of God, gives them a new heart, willing to come, willing to bow, willing to love, willing to cast all of their hope upon Him. And now, this is a believer's plea. It's like David says, He hath made with me. He made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. This is all my salvation. What's your hope, Marvin? That you've been faithful enough, that you've been a preacher? No. This is all my hope. God chose to show mercy to the sinner. and by the grace of God I am what I am. Wherefore is in the hand of a fool. Wherefore is that value accessible to a fool to get wisdom, seeing he has no heart for it? God is good and man's a rebel. If God shows mercy to me, it's going to be to His praise and His honor and His glory and to my eternal good. Amen.